Welcome to the Cashflow Ninja, the podcast sharing how to create and grow income streams and manage, multiply, and protect your wealth in the new economy. Are you tired of trading your time for money? Do you desire freedom today instead of retirement in 10, 20, or 30 years? I'm MC Lobsher, and this is the Cashflow Ninja. This is Cashflow Ninja. My name is MC Lobsher. Thank you so much for spending the most valuable resource, your time, once again with me on the show. Just wanted to let you know that I do have a new book out, The 21 Best Cashflow Niches, Creating Wealth in the Best Alternative Niches. You could grab that book at cashflowninja.com/21 niches. So cashflowninja.com/21 niches. And along with the book, you also get access to the audiobook, a digital version of the book, a curated library of interviews talking about these cash flow niches and bonus interviews. Again, that's cashflowninja.com/21 niches. It's 21 niches. I'm joined by my friend, Jason Hartman. Great to see you again, Jason. Jason Hartman's been on the show several times. Just go to cashflowninja.com and type in Jason Hartman. You're going to find all of his previous interviews there. They are so worth listening to because a lot of the things that are happening right now, he's already shared on the show with listeners. So, Jason, great to see you again.
Hey, it's great to be here. And I'm sad that many of my predictions are coming true. I got to put it that way. I mean, I'm always happy to be right, but I don't want to be right about some of this stuff. I'd rather be wrong. It's unfortunate. And we are absolutely living in historic, crazy times right now. And people better be paying attention.
Absolutely. And what I love about your approach too is, you know, you take a view of the market, what's going on, why it's happening, what has happened before. And then you look at how you can position yourself to be on the right side of this craziness and not only protect your wealth, but grow wealth and capitalize on economic opportunity in chaos and uncertain times. So appreciate your take. What are you seeing happening? Because we've discussed before the great reset that's happening. We're also living during the fourth industrial revolution, which is pretty interesting times. Never before have we seen changes and a massive shift happen at such a rapid speed. What is your latest take on things, Jason? And what are some of the things that stand out to you and things that you're keeping an eye on?
Well, I think we need to keep an eye on this massive wealth transfer that is occurring. There's no question about it. The elites are transferring wealth to themselves because we've let the people who benefit, they're in control of the system. There's an economist, I like to call him my second favorite economist, from about 250 years ago, Richard Cantillon, who described the Cantillon effect. A lot of people are hearing about this now. And this is the idea that the people closest to the money benefit from it the most. And that means the elite class, the people on Wall Street, the people in the financialized economy, they're benefiting the most from the wealth transfer, and they are literally transferring wealth away from the poor and the middle class to themselves through all of the various things that they're doing. They are taking away our freedom. Our freedom is most definitely under attack, and when I say our, I mean every human on planet Earth. This is a global phenomenon. COVID-1984 has basically been, it checks all the boxes for a tyrannical dictator, for the powers that be. It gives them everything they want. The financial crisis 13 years ago did not check all the boxes. This one does. That checked a few boxes 13 years ago, wealth transfer, et cetera, for sure. This one checks all the boxes. They can do everything they want now. They can restrict speech, freedom, transfer money to themselves, control election results, just everything. They get everything they want with this. And I'm not saying, by the way, that the virus isn't real. There is a real virus, and people do get sick, and people do die. So I'm not making light of that. I'm just saying that they have either created this opportunity for themselves, or they're taking advantage of the opportunity. Doesn't matter. The result is the same for us. And that means less money, less wealth, less control over one's own life, less freedom. It's a scary time.
Yeah. What's interesting is, you know, when you have such a massive economic shift happening, it's going to have societal consequences, you know, and especially if it's happening so fast, it's going to catch a lot of people off guard, right? And that, of course, you'll see in, you see it manifest in different areas, whether it be people on the streets going crazy, whether it's people on social media and so forth. So like you were saying that, you know, there's a massive wealth transfer underway, which has been happening. You know, I joked the other day, I said, you know, imagine you and a couple of your best buddies sitting around, you know, the table having a cocktail and smoking a cigars, and you guys can print as much money as you can. How quickly and how long would it take you to buy up everything in the world, right?
Right.
I mean, it's very, very doable, but the infrastructure to set the control for maintaining, I guess, still, I would say, systems and structures until you don't need them anymore, it seems to be this virus, and that's how it seems to play out, right? We have this massive wealth transfer. It's a massive shift, paradigm shift, economic shift. People are on the wrong side of it, and before they have time to grab their pitchforks and run out, now they're all of a sudden in this grid, which this virus has allowed people to set up.
Yeah, and unfortunately, almost everything people buy now, well, I that's a figure of speech, obviously, but way too much of it is from a big tech company, Amazon, that is doing all sorts of evil, disgusting things, oppressing people in numerous ways, you know, rolling over small businesses. And guess what? When the time comes, they won't sell pitchforks. You know, they won't sell anything that can be used by the people as a weapon to protect themselves against tyranny. So that's, you know, it's just the way it is. So.
Yeah, and if you think about it, the infrastructure, and I also just want to point that out, the infrastructure that has been set up, the basis and the foundation of all of this is, if you look at the web and look at all of the things that companies are built on, is, I mean, Amazon Web Services.
Yep. They can deplatform anybody like they did to Parler, you know, during the election debate. It's just absolutely disgusting what's happening, and we better all be very concerned. You know, soon they will control everything, and this might be our last gasp of free speech, what's left of it, for people to around the world to express themselves, and we better be looking for backup systems, because we've all been you know, pushed into centralized points that are controlled by big companies that are in bed with governments and global elites. And, you know, it's almost checkmate, folks. It really is. At the same time, though, I do say, and I used to say before a lot of this stuff all the time, it's an amazing time to be alive. And it is. But we've just got to think in ways that allow us to communicate on a peer-to-peer basis. We've got to think in ways that protect ourselves from the wealth transfer that is going on. Most of that's happening through inflation, a lot of it through regulation and taxation. About almost 20 years ago now, I predicted, and I made this prediction very public, that when the time comes that there is a global fiat currency, now I didn't know it would be on a smartphone, okay, which is where it's going, but I just said global fiat currency, that will be checkmate against the entire population of the world. The reason for that is that, you know, when the money is controlled and there's only one currency and it's a fiat currency, it's game over. But guess what? It got way better for the elites than that. Okay. I was just thinking it would be a currency like a dollar and a mero, whatever, you know. But it got much better because we got these devices. And with these devices, That's where the currency will be exchanged, and it'll all be on the phone. And so they can then program the currency and make it programmable money, which is far more effective for the control freaks. They can make it so that it doesn't work during certain times of day. Say there's a curfew. They can make it so it only works within a certain distance of your home. They can make it expire on a certain date. So if they want to create what's called velocity of money, they can create velocity in the economy by putting an expiration date on your money or a scheduled devaluation of your money so that you want to use it faster. Or they can make it go the other way. They can change the time preferences on currency and control our exchange. And they can just say with the stroke of a pen, basically, that, look, this is the law. This is the only legal tender. It is not legal to use Bitcoin or Dogecoin or Ethereum or anything else. You must use the central bank digital currency that is only accessible through a smartphone, or maybe later a chip implanted in your wrist. Who knows?
And this is coming straight from the Bank of International Settlements.
Yeah.
The central bank's bank. I mean, there's a clip that had been circulating where, and this was during a press conference when this gentleman that almost looks like, you know, the Penguin character in the Batman movies, he was stating exactly what you're saying. He said, this will give us total control. And as you mentioned, you know, it's pitched, oh, well, you know, if we need to stimulate the economy, well, we could send folks some money and tell them that they would have to spend it within 48 to 72 hours.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the money would disappear. And this is a way for us to stimulate the economy. Sounds great, right?
Sure. Yeah. Look, if any of you have gone to Groupon, for example, right? And you bought a Groupon, right? It has an expiration date on it. Now, granted, Groupon has had a lot of litigation. And so they've made it so that, you know, it might expire, but you can still exchange it, blah, blah, blah. But the elites will not be so generous, and we will not be able to sue them either. Okay. So this is what's coming, folks. And it is pretty darn scary for sure. The more look at central planning throughout history has always been oppressive. Central planners have never been on the side of human liberty and prosperity. They've been on the side of their liberty and their prosperity. People in favor of censorship, like the people that run these big tech companies, they've never been the good guys throughout history, ever. Okay? There's no question about this. And if anybody listening thinks this is some kind of wacko tinfoil hat, you know, stuff, just look on the internet. It's published on the websites of the powers that be. They're not shy about saying this stuff. I mean, you know, read the insanely boring books by Klaus Schwab. I mean, I read one of his books. Okay. They're just stupidly boring. Okay. But they are, they smack of all kinds of things that will not be good for you in your life, in your family, in your friends.
Yep. And as you mentioned, this is all documented, white papers, in books.
Yeah. This is not a secret, folks.
No,
maybe someone listening hasn't heard of it, but yes, it's not a secret. It's out there. Yep. It's right on the website of the World Economic Forum, you know? The great
reset. For anyone that's willing to look into it, they'll be able to find it. And I've shared, you know, on the show that there is a war of the elites against we the people, and the proxy is government and big corporations, whether it be the military industrial complex, whether it be big pharma, whether it be the big massive big data, big tech,
the big anything. Big anything is bad.
Yeah. Right. Banking and financial institutions and so forth. So
sure.
They've centralized the power, and they're planning on centralizing it even more. And it's very important. And that's why I've been talking about it. I know you've been talking about it. I know other friends in our community have been talking about it.
They're going to start censoring podcasts. Okay. Yep. They've already talked about that. You know, Apple will start deplatforming podcasters if they haven't done so already. I haven't heard much about that. Of course, YouTube's done this for a long time. It's nothing new there. You know, Facebook has done it. Twitter has done it. Just Twitter has radically done it. I mean, Twitter is, you know, maybe one of the worst offenders of all. But Facebook is pretty disgusting for sure. You know, none of these. Look at, you know, in the United States, the Constitution gives us the First Amendment, right? And that guarantees us free speech. But that's only against the government. The government cannot censor your speech. But what if the government is in bed with a big tech company who has an army of lobbyists, who has a speech platform that almost everybody on the planet uses, or at least 3 billion people, right? And what if they're making deals, right? And with, you know, they're sitting in, you know, I remember a little over 10 years ago, I was a lobbyist for a day. I went on a field trip to be a lobbyist for a day with a real estate group. And it was really interesting. You know, I sat in the office of Arlen Specter, Nancy Pelosi, several other, I can't even remember, Dennis Kucinich, who's been on my show, by the way. You know, I sat in the office of these politicians, and we went and lobbied them, literally lobbied them, asked for favors. Now, I can imagine the way professionals do this. I was not a professional. You know, we were asking them to vote a certain way on a certain law regarding real estate investing and so forth, right? But I can imagine if that was my career as a lobbyist, you know, I'd be going to dinner with these people. I'd be playing golf with them. You know, there could be all kinds of favors exchanged without even having a brown paper bag full of cash, okay? You know, you could just exchange all kinds of favors in your daily life, right? It's unbelievable the way you could curry favors. And so, you know, this is what's happening. These big tech companies have armies of lobbyists, and the lobbyists are trading favors with the government. You know, before 9/11 years ago, everybody was concerned about this thing called Carnivore. Carnivore was a device that they that the government was installing in tech companies, mostly internet service provider companies and email providers at the time. This was before social media. And basically what it would do is it would allow the government to search keywords in communications. And everybody was, you know, really concerned about this. And guess what? Then 9/11 happened. And nobody talked about Carnivore anymore. There was no opposition to it anymore. It completely went away. We got the Patriot Act. They made it very hard to do banking. I mean, anybody in business now, you try to do banking anymore, it's a complete hassle. It's unbelievable, you know, all under the guise of protecting us from terrorism. Now, how big a threat is terrorism? Well, you are 160 times more likely to die by having a coconut fall and hit you on the head than die in a terrorist attack. Okay? Literally. Yep. It's almost a zero threat. Okay? So, you know, these are the things that, you know, the elite do to restrict our freedom. You know, I'm not saying it's not a real thing. Of course it's a real thing. The virus is real. Terrorism's real. Recession is real. This is all real stuff. Okay? But, using it as a political football and a way to take away our freedoms is a totally different concept.
And I'm going to share this with my audience too. So when this all happened 18, 19 months ago, I was still surfing on Facebook at that time. I've been off of it for a while. But I still remember that, you know, you were sharing and saying, folks, just take it easy. You know, just settle down, because everybody got sucked into this, just like with 9/11, because, you know, people get into a state of fear, the fear factory's working overtime, they get into a state of shock, and then all of a sudden they're looking for solutions, and would you know it, government, they have a lot of solutions for you.
Oh, of course.
And they're ready to roll them out for you. And I remember, so I'll give you this this compliment. I remember that you were posting at that time saying, just take it easy. Let's just this whole thing play out, because it doesn't seem like everything is presented as is. Is there a virus? Yes, you know, there is. But let's just let this, the field and the landscape plays itself out, because it feels like there's some other things at play here. And I'm sure you were looking at some of the things that they were pushing too. Well, because of this, now we have to do this. We have to lock this down. We're going to lock down small businesses. So the reaction to it was definitely a tell, right?
Yeah. Notice they locked down all the small businesses and they went out of business, but they didn't lock down Amazon, interestingly, right? Now, granted, you're going to say, well, Amazon delivers, right? Small businesses are shops. And, you know, if you go into the shop, you could catch the virus. Well, guess what? A whole bunch of these small businesses started immediately adapting. Entrepreneurs are very adaptable. They, you know, restaurants started doing to-go orders. They really ramped up their outside business, their delivery businesses, right? And you know, some of them made it through, but most of them struggled or didn't make it through, or, you know, who knows what the lives of these owners has turned out to be, you know, bankruptcies, all kinds of financial problems that will haunt them for 10 more years, probably. There's a concept in the military world called a false flag. And Hitler used it, and it's been used throughout history. And the false flag is that you create a problem and blame it on your enemy. Now, your enemy may not be a country or even a group of people or anything, although it might be. Maybe it's just a concept. Maybe it's just a sickness. Maybe it's just a threat of terrorism or something, right? And some would say 9/11's a false flag. I don't know, you know, but there are theories, right? So they create this problem, and then they solve it, or they anger the population so much that they get people united to basically destroy their own economy or destroy their own freedom, or engage in, you know, this ridiculous level of political correctness that just basically destroys society after a while because it's anti-truth.
Yep, absolutely. So a couple of things. Some solutions to some of this is, and before we jump into the further wealth gap and inflation, you know, one of the things that I've shared is decentralization. Figure out ways how to decentralize yourself in many different ways in life. What are some of the other things that you could share with folks? Is, you know, I have the same mindset as you. As things are so chaotic and there's so many changes and there's so many things to be doomy and gloomy about, there's a plethora of opportunities and an abundance of opportunities for folks that can anticipate this new environment, see what's playing out in front of them and position themselves.
Yeah. Well, you know, the first thing is so many of us have become so accustomed to modern life that we've become incapable of doing anything. Right. So, you know, you better know the basic survival skills. Right. I'm not saying make this your life. Now, I host another podcast. My main podcast is the Creating Wealth Show. And that's all about investing and money and stuff like that. But, you know, occasionally we go off topic. I've got almost 2000 episodes now. I've been, you know, doing that for 15, 16 years. I host another show that was very popular when I was producing more content for it. It's still out there, called The Holistic Survival Show. And the tagline is protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. That show was very popular during the Great Recession. It's got like 300 or so episodes, I think, now. And, it amazes me how so many of us just don't know the basic skills to survive, right? You know, like, we have no preparation. We don't have any water stored up. We don't know how to make food without a stove and a microwave. And, you know, we don't have things to protect ourselves from too much heat or too much cold. Or, you know, what if we're stranded somewhere? Or, you know, do we have a water filter? Like, these are simple things. You don't have to make this your life. I mean, that's a sickness in and of itself of people that make this their whole life. But literally, by spending $300 or so, you can have some basic good preparation. How about communication? Most preppers and survivalists just forget this. Don't depend on your cell phone to work, and don't depend on it not to be censored either. How about having just a cheap ham radio, right? And I would also recommend, by the way, that people not get, you heard me right, I said do not get a ham radio license. Here's why. You are allowed to use a ham radio in an emergency without a license. But if you get a license, you are giving the government a preemptive search warrant to come in and inspect your equipment. They can do that at any time if you have a license. Okay. Yep. So I suggest that you buy a ham radio and do not use it. You can listen to it as long as you don't transmit, right? And again, you know, I'm not a lawyer, so I check, these are my, this is my understanding of the laws. Do not rely on them. Check it out yourself. But buy a ham radio, have it for emergencies if needed, and you know, learn how to use it just by listening to it, right? And and you know, have the batteries charged. And if you want to go one step further, put it in what's called a Faraday bag. And that's a protection against electromagnetic pulses from nuclear bombs or other things, or you know, solar flares. You've got that, yeah. You know, these are just simple things you can do. This costs very little money. I mean, this radio will be $40. Okay, the Faraday bag will be $25. You know, and just have some basic skills, right? Learn how to get food and so forth, right? Just in case you need them. And then as far as your money, which is very practical, you know, I teach all kinds of great strategies on my podcast and YouTube channel. One of them is called inflation-induced debt destruction. We are going into inflationary times. We're already in them. Actually, we're not going into them. We're in them now. But I think they could get a lot worse. I think that's a real threat. And I teach away inflation-induced debt destruction. That's a trademark of mine, to help people defend themselves against the wealth transfer by literally aligning our interest with the two most powerful forces humanity has ever known, governments and central banks. And, you know, there's an old saying, if you can't beat them, join them. And I basically teach a way for you to join them and do the same thing they're doing. And this will protect you and protect your wealth for many, many years by taking advantage of kind of gaming the system, really, just following their lead and doing what they're doing. And we can do that as mom and pop, you know, little people, and we can do that through real estate investing. It's a very, very powerful strategy.
Yeah, great stuff all around. I really appreciate what you shared about the survival instincts, because we've talked about that too. And, you know, the mindset that I share is, don't think that anyone's coming to help you or save you. You know, we have to get off this savior mentality. And once you take that approach, you're like, okay, so I'm on my own. So what can happen? Well, the electricity of your house goes out.
Right.
Have a plan for that.
Yeah.
In most cases, when the electricity goes out, it impacts the water. So you're going to need a source of water. And then guess what? The fridge might be down, the freezer might be down, and so forth. So have a plan for food. And then, of course, you know, there's going to be opportunists out there, or folks that are going to get hungry and thirsty.
Right.
So have a plan for home defense.
Yeah.
Have things to protect you and
yeah. When people need to survive, all civility goes away. Okay, people will survive. They will do whatever they need to do to get food, to get water. They will harm you. They will kill you. They will, you know, rob you. They will do whatever they have to do. So have units of exchange. I'm not big into precious metals. I'm not a big believer in that. Would only matter much later in a crisis. It won't matter initially. Cash will be more important than that. But, you know, how many of you have some cash hidden somewhere, right? You should have a little bit of good old US dollars that are being inflated away, right? And don't have too much of it, but have a little bit of it, okay? You know, have some things that you can trade. Oddly enough, okay, throughout history, vodka and cigarettes and coffee has been very tradable, also bullets. Most people, it's like, oh, I got so many guns. Well, how many bullets do you have, right? You only need one gun and lots of bullets, right? So people think of that wrong many times. So, these are all just things to think about. I mean, don't make this your life. Just make it, this will take you like, a few hours and $300-$400, right, to do some basic things. The rule is 1 gallon of water per day per person. Okay. So, you know, an easy way to store water is just subscribe to the 5-gallon water bottle deliveries and just have 9 of those delivered and then use them for your daily drinking, but always have a backlog and, you know, rotate them so you're not drinking, so you don't have really old water. Don't store them on concrete like in your garage, because the concrete actually leaches through the plastic and contaminates it. So you got to store them, like I store them in one of my extra showers in my house. It's got tile floor, so that's okay. Or, you know, you got to put them on pallets. And, you know, just some basic things. This is not complicated stuff, folks. Okay, you know, maybe do a simulation. Go to the main breaker in your house and turn off the electricity for a day or two. See how you get by. It's pretty tough. Okay. It's not easy. You know, have a little cheap generator. I bought one. I've never even used it. Okay. But I live in Florida in Palm Beach, and this is hurricane territory. So, you know, I bought a $430 generator, and I have some gas cans. Now, I don't fill the gas cans up. I don't want that's dangerous. But as soon as there's any sign of a crisis, I will fill those gas cans up. I do try to keep my car filled up with gas, and I bought a siphon pump for $20. So I can always get the gasoline out of my car and put it in the generator if needed, right? So just some simple things, right? You know, you can do this really well for a few $1,000 or basically for $300-$400.
Yep, absolutely. So I like the approach too of just modeling what the players are doing. Like you said, the two most biggest and most powerful forces in human
governments
history,
and central banks
and governments. Every time you're on the other side and trying to arm wrestle those two forces, you're going to get hurt.
They will win.
They will win, yes. So you align your interests with them, model what they're doing. And a lot of it is real estate. And you talk about a lot of real estate with inflation. And you mentioned Richard Cantillon too. We talk about the Cantillon effect quite a bit. You want to share a little bit just what is going on in real estate and some of the markets that you're operating in and how this inflation is taking shape.
Sure. So my company basically helps people invest. I actually got a couple companies that do this that help people invest in properties nationwide. And we like linear markets. And this means the markets that you don't hear that much about on the news. These are the markets that are slow, steady, and dependable and have good cash flow. And they tend to be right-oriented political environments rather than left-oriented political environments. So landlords have rights. If you have tenants that don't pay, you're not going to be subject to rent control or situations where the tenant can squat in your house for 6 months or a year without paying rent. You know, these are locations around the country where, you know, the courts make people uphold contracts. Okay, as they rightfully should, because, you know, if people don't uphold contracts, society collapses. Okay, and that's what's happening in California and New York. And, you know, those places are just absolute disasters. You know, I spent most of my life in California. I'm glad I left. It was one of the best decisions of my life to leave. You know, I live in a no income tax state, whereas in California, I paid 13.3% just to the state, not to mention the federal government. So, you know, there's a lot of good stuff you can do. And, you know, it takes a little time. We don't have time for today, but we've talked about it on prior episodes. And of course, people can check out the Creating Wealth podcast, my YouTube channel, or jasonhartman.com, my website, for more information.
Fantastic. This has been a blast. Jason, any final thoughts and takeaways for our listeners?
Yeah, one thing I didn't say, on the prepping side of things, and, you know, again, this is not wacko stuff. It's just basic. This is being responsible. Everybody should buy a life straw. Okay. And that's just a little straw for water. It's like $20. You know, I have no affiliation. I probably just made that company a fortune by saying this. But, you know, I keep one in my suitcase. So when I travel, I always have that with me. It's unopened. It's just in my suitcase. If I'm stuck in a hotel and, you know, there's one of these crazy hostage situations or something, I can drink the water out of the toilet. Okay. You know, I mean, you can drink, any water with this thing, supposedly. And, you know, it's just $20. It's super portable. Everybody should have one of those. So, you know, that and invest in real estate. It's the most historically proven asset class in the world. How do you like that? We went from one spectrum to the other. End of the world to opportunity in real estate. And it, you know, it's true. And it helps you align your interests with the most powerful forces the human race has ever known. Income property is the most historically proven asset class in the world. So highly recommend it. And that's what you know, part of my business life does, is it helps people invest in good income properties.
Yeah. And that's the thing about where we are right now too. So obviously there's massive changes.
Yeah.
And changes are going to speed up, and there'll be massive chaos and so forth with opportunities, but last time I checked, people are still going to need a place to live. They're still going to need affordable housing, right, regardless of what technology is being rolled out, regardless of AI, robotics, 3D printing, Internet of Things, 5G. I mean, we could go on and on and on. Regardless of all of those, we're still going to need a place to live, right? Yeah. And that's where housing comes in. And just a final thought on the
that's a good point you mentioned. That's what we saw become so important during the pandemic, is that home became the center of the universe. And, you know, if you live in a city, I would highly recommend getting out of big cities with high density living. You know, this is the resurgence of the suburbs. And rural areas too, but the suburbs are great places to live. And, you know, I think that's really a much safer environment. You know, when you have a sickness going around, you don't want to be taking mass transit. You don't want to be, you know, using elevators. Those are danger zones. A suburban area is much more defensible. It's much more survivable. You know, you could even have a little garden and grow food and things like that. So it's just a much more prudent thing. If you look back to the Great Depression in the 1930s, what's interesting about it, among many things, is that the people that lived in the countryside actually sort of fared pretty well through the whole thing. It was the people that lived in cities that suffered a lot because they were dependent on the system. You know, they were the ones waiting in line at soup kitchens and things like this. They couldn't provide for themselves living in a high density city. But when you live in the countryside, you can provide for yourself. And you don't have to go that far. I mean, listen, I don't want to live out in the country myself, right? But in a suburban place where you have a small yard or patio, you know, you can pretty much take care of business in that type of environment with some smarts, you know, and understanding how to do things.
That's a great point. You know, the home has become the center point of your universe because now you can live anywhere too. Right. So you don't have to live in a big city to work in that company anymore. And of course, if you're going to be in an area or have a house, why not have a bigger house, more space, a yard, a pool, all that kind of stuff, if that's going to be your center point. So that's a great point. The other thought I just wanted to share with our listeners too on preparedness is people spend thousands of dollars on car insurance, hoping to never get into a car accident. That's sort of the same mentality that I have when I look at emergency food and I have all of the things that I need for preparedness. That is essentially insurance. I'm hoping to never eat my freeze-dried food. I mean, sure, it might be, you know, tasty, but I'm kidding, of course, hoping that I'm never get to do that. But in the case that I would, I have it and it's available. So just wanted to share that too, from how to think about this. This has been a blast to having you on again, my friend. Appreciate you spending your time with us and sharing your insights and knowledge. Just one last time, where can folks reach you? Where can they follow you? Where can they stay informed of all the many things that you're involved in and all the different podcasts that you have and different companies?
Yeah, definitely. Just wherever you get your podcasts, go just type Jason Hartman in iTunes or whatever, and listen to the Creating Wealth Show. My main website is jasonhartman.com, so you can get more information at all of these. And you know, we'd just happy to help and spread the word, and just, you know, just be prepared, just be paying attention to what's going on, folks, and you'll do okay.
Fantastic. And thank you to you, the listener and the viewer, spending the most valuable resource, your time with us. Again, on the show, all of our past shows episodes. There's over 750 of them. They're coming along. Resources and all of our programs are available at CashflowNinja.com. CashflowNinja.com. Until next time, live infinitely.
This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.